Cassette 7, Side 2. Denny had surprised him after Jillian and Kipiru left by taking his new command without complaint. For the last 2 days, she hadn't seemed much interested in anything but her microscopes and samples, ignoring even Sout's desultory sexual innuendo, answering questions in monosyllables. Toshio knelt by the comm unit attached by cable to Sout's sled. He tapped out a query on the monitor and frowned at the result. "Sout," he said severely, "get over here."
"Inna says sec,"
the dolphin sounded distracted. Toshio pursed his lips.
"Now you will to hear in gather, or shortly cease all listening further."
He heard Denny gasp behind him, though she probably didn't understand the trinary burst in detail. Toshio felt justified. This was a test. He wasn't as subtle as Jillian Baskin, but he had to get obedience or be useless as an officer. Sout stared up at him, blinking dazedly. Then the Finn sighed and moved over to the side of the pool.
"Sout, you haven't taken any geological readings in 4 hours, yet in that time you've dropped the probe 200 meters. What's got into you?"
The Stenos rolled from side to side uncertainly. Finally, he spoke softly.
"I'm getting a song."
The last word faded before Toshio could be sure of it.
"You're getting a what?"
"A song."
Toshio lifted his hands and dropped them to his sides. "He's finally cracked. First Denny, now Sout. I've been left in charge of 2 mental cases. He sensed Denny approach the pool.
"Listen, Sout," Toshio said. "Dr. Dart will be calling soon. What do you think he's going to say when..."
"I'll take care of Charlie when he calls,"
Denny said quietly.
"You?"
Denny had spent the last 40 hours cursing over the drill tree problem she had been assigned at Takata Jim's order and Charles Dart's request. It had almost completely superseded her work with the Kikwi. Toshio couldn't imagine her wanting to talk with the chimpanzee.
"Yes, me. What I have to tell may make him forget all about the robot, so you just lay off Sout. If he says he heard singing, well, maybe he's heard singing."
Toshio stared at her, then shrugged.
"Fine. My job is to protect these two, not correct their scientific blunders. I just hope Jillian straightens things out back at the ship so I can report what's going on here."
Denny knelt down by the water to talk to Sout. He spoke slowly and earnestly, patient, with the anglic slowness he suffered after his long seance with the robot. Denny wanted to dive to look at the core of the metal mound. Sout agreed to accompany her if she would wait until he transcribed some more of his music. Denny assented, apparently completely unafraid of going into the water with Sout. Toshio sat down and waited for the inevitable buzz of the comm line from the ship. People were changing overnight, and he hadn't the slightest idea why. His eyes felt scratchy. Toshio rubbed them, but that didn't seem to help. He blinked and tried to look at Denny and Sout. The difficulty he was having focusing only seemed to be getting worse. A haziness began to spread between himself and the pool. Suddenly he felt a sense of dread expectancy. Pulsing, it seemed to migrate from the back of his head to a place between his shoulder blades. He brought his hands to his ears.
"Denny? Sout? Do you..."
He shouted the last words, but could barely hear his own voice. The others looked up. Denny rose and took a step toward him, concern on her face. Then her eyes opened in wide surprise. Toshio saw a blur of movement. Then there were Kikwi in the forest, charging them through the bushes. Toshio tried to draw his needler, knowing it was already too late. The aboriginals were already upon them, waving their short arms and screaming in tiny, high-pitched voices. 3 plowed into him, and 2 toppled Denny. He struggled and fell beneath them, fighting to keep their slashing claws away from his face, while the grating noise erupted in his brain. Then, in an instant, the kikui were gone. Amidst the grinding roar in his head, Toshio forced himself to turn over and look up. Denny tossed back and forth across the ground, moaning, clutching at her ears. Toshio feared she had been wounded by kikui claws, but when she rolled his way, he saw only shallow cuts. With both shaking hands, he drew his needler. The few kikui in sight weren't heading this way, but squealing as they rushed the pool and dove in. "It's not their doing," he realized dimly. At least, he recognized the sound of 1,000 fingernails scraping across a blackboard. "A psi attack. We have to hide. Water might cushion the assault. We should dive in like the Abos did." His head roared as he crawled toward the pool. Then he stopped. "I can't drag Denny in there, and we can't put on our breathing gear while shaking like this." He reversed direction until he reached a poolside tree. He sat with his back against the bowl, and he tried to concentrate in spite of the crashing in his brain. "Remember what Mr. Orley taught you, Mitty. Think about your mind and go within. See the enemy's illusions. Listen lightly to his lies. Use the yin and the yang, the twin salvations, logic to pierce Mara's veil, and faith to sustain." Denny moaned and rolled in the dust a few meters away. Toshio laid the needler on his lap to have it ready when the enemy came. He called to Denny, shouting over the screaming noise. "Denny! Listen to your heartbeat! Listen to each breath! They're real sounds! This isn't!" He saw her turn slightly toward his voice, agony in her eyes, as she pressed white, bloodless hands over her ears. The shrieking intensified. "Count your heartbeats, Denny. They're like the ocean, like the surf. Denny," he shouted, "have you ever heard any sound that can overcome the surf? Can anything or anybody scream loud enough to keep the tide from laughing back?" She stared at him, trying. He could see her inhaling deeply, mouthing slowly as she counted. "Yes! Count, Denny! Breaths and heartbeats! Is there any sound the tide of your heartbeat can't laugh at?" He locked onto his eyes as he anchored himself to hers. Slowly, as the howling within his head reached its crescendo, Toshio saw her nod and give a faint, grateful smile. Thout felt it too. Even as the psychic wave rolled over him, the pool was suddenly afroth with panicky kikui. Thout was inundated by a babble of noise from all around and within. It was worse than being blinded by a searchlight. He wanted to dive away from the cacophony. Biting back panic, he forced himself to separate the noise into parts. Denny and Toshio seemed in worse shape than he. Perhaps they were more sensitive to the assault. There would be no help from them. The kikui were in terror, squalling as they crashed into the pool. "Flee! Flight from the sad great things! Somebody help the great sad hurt things!" Out of the mouths of babes. When he concentrated, the psi attack did feel like a call for help. It hurt like the hell of the deeps, but he faced it and tried to pin it down. He thought he was making progress. Certainly he was coping, when still another voice joined in, this one over his neural link. The song from below that he had spent all night unable to decipher had awakened. From the bowels of Kithrop, it bellowed. Its simplicity commanded understanding. "Who calls? Who dares bother?" Thout moaned as he tore the robot link free. Three screaming noises, all at different levels of mind, were quite enough. Any more and he would go insane. Buault of the Feminine was afraid, though an officer in the service of the great ghosts thought nothing of death or of living enemies,